The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Morning, welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. My name is Alex Dunn and we're going to be looking ahead to some Friday action at Tramore today. I'm joined on the line by William Hill's Irish Racing expert to look ahead to the action. And we have got Stuart, James and Craig in the studio for you this evening. So tune in to hear all of the action from Tramore. In the meantime, good morning, Andy Holding.
Good morning, Alex, how are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right actually, yeah.
We had a decent evening last night overall, didn't we, at Leopardstown?
Yeah, I'd say so.
We had a 16-1 winner and a few non-runners in there, obviously with the predicted ground change. But, you know, can't knock a 16-1 winner, can you?
Yeah, no, it certainly boosted the level stake profit up, didn't it, last night? Did have a couple of more bets, backed, obviously, my nap, Carenza, who duly finishing the frame, thought Ray Dawson gave her a little bit too much to do. Wasn't a great surprise that Darwin was a non-runner either. It was a bit annoying, really, because I backed Lita Moore each way at 20s, obviously with a huge roll four, but I still ended up being, well, much better off, and it looked like winning with about 50 yards to go and ended up finishing a neck and a short head third with only seven runners. So it was the worst possible result for me. Mm. And I fancied a couple in the last, and they were out, but no great surprise to see the acting talent and Il Palazzo fail in the final race.
No, starting to look very, very exposed, aren't they?
It just looked really dodgy form, and my speed figures were telling me it was a bad race, and I was trying to find one to beat them or two to beat them. I managed to find the two non-runners.
Mm, yes, true.
Fair effort, that.
Yeah, not too bad. You don't lose anything, at least.
No, exactly, yeah.
Okay, then, we're going to do Tramore today. Seven race card kicking off at 5:15. The going in the Racing Post is good. Do you think it will be good?
I would say no. I'd say be more on the yielding side of good. I don't think it'd be that bad. It certainly cut up there last night, particularly on the chase track when they churned it up a bit when the rain got in. And the last couple of races on the flat course were indicating that as well. They're going to move the rails today at Tramore, so it's fresh ground. Plus, it's a dry day over in Ireland today, amazingly, considering the rest of the southern half of the UK is drenched in showers. But it's the Ireland's turn to have a clear day, so we shouldn't get any more precipitation on the course. And it should be just about okay tonight.
Okay then. We'll kick things off then with the 5:15. It's a claiming race over a mile and a half. And if we're being honest, it doesn't look the strongest race on the card really, Andy, does it?
No, it doesn't. No, that's why I'm going to put my nap up in this race. I really think this race is there for the taking, actually. I think it's an absolute bag of spanners, as you said. I mean, I've gone through this race quite extensively this morning. You think, what am I doing messing around in a mile and a half claimer at Tramore and making a horseman out? But I really do think this dusty trail is a fantastic each-way bet here. I got this race down between Mighty Whitey and Dusty Trail. I couldn't give the rest a book's chance, to be honest. I think they're all out of form. A lot of them won't handle the conditions and, more importantly, won't handle the track. Whereas Dusty Trail has run here five times in its career. Its form figures read 2-2-1-1-4. The only time it was out the frame was in a 16-runner handicap when it finished fourth of 16. You couldn't exactly call that a bad run. I mean, technically it finished in the frame, really, but for place purposes, obviously, it goes on the sheet as an unplaced effort. And it didn't run too badly on its second start this season at Galway, when the ground arguably was a little bit too heavy for it. It was the race at Mighty Whitey, served up the early fractions and looked like it was going to get the better of the argument turning for home, and then he just faded on the run-in. And Dusty Trail was a little bit further back in sixth. There's a little bit of a turnaround in the weights, I suppose, you could argue, if you were going down the weights and measures route. But I just want to take the track stats of Dusty Trail into account here and suggest that it's very difficult to see this horse not being involved in the frame. It was a good second last year to a horse called Quench the Flame at this three-day festival. So obviously Ewan Dorr has targeted a race for this horse. Yes, he's getting on a bit, but it's such a bad race, and there's so many old-timers in this race anyway, with nothing improving. I haven't got a problem with that. I think Mighty Whitey is the danger. He'll go off in front again, but conditions are ideal for Dusty Trail. It's at his favourite track, and at 5-1, I just think you can have what you want on it each way. It's got to be in the frame.
Okay then, Dusty Trail, a confident selection in the 5:15. The 5:50 is the second race. It is a maiden, also over a mile and a half. And Palace of Winds runs for John Oxon and must have strong claims in what looks another pretty weak race.
Yeah, it's another grisly affair, really. Lack of opposition sort of points in the direction of Palace of Winds. Got absolutely thrashed last time out at Leopardstown when trying to make the run in on its second start this season, and that came unstuck. Those tactics didn't work because all it did was basically hand it on the plate till the very, very impressive win. I'm waiting for that horse to come out again, Phil Naban, who did an incredibly fast last three furlong sprint up the hill at Leopardstown and completely left Palace of Winds for dead. Prior to that, John Ox's filly had finished a good second behind an improving horse of Mickey Halford's, a filly called Drifting Mist, who narrowly failed to win a very competitive Sligo filly's handicap on its next start. So I think that's probably the form we need to concentrate on. And I think if Palace of Winds gets ridden a little bit more conservatively this time and doesn't try and do what she did last time and basically bust a gut from the front, then I think she's got every chance of beating this field. A lot of these horses have had plenty of chances, been on the fringes of bad handicaps and poor maidens. The likes of Chin Chin, Keep It Clean, Hypatia, even Bert Sienna, who ran here last night. I've got bits of chances if the favourite comes unstuck. But providing she does run a race, Palace of Winds, i.e. that run two starts back, then I think she should just about justify favouritism.
OK then, so Palace of Winds in the 5:50. The 6:20 is a race over a mile and a half once again. And we've got four last time out winners in this field, Andy.
We have indeed, yes. And one of them is going to be my selection. And it is the bottom one, Stepping Down, who actually stepped up on what she'd previously done here last night. I love backing horses that run at the same track the day after. I just think they've got such an amazing fitness advantage. It's basically like having a good workout. A lot of judges actually think it has the detrimental effect of tiring them out, but I take the totally opposite view. I think it's like a good racetrack workout. And it wasn't as if she was hard-pressed either in the latter stages. She was eased down from two out when she got the race in safekeeping. And clearly, front-running tactics are very much the key to judged on her last two runs, because the time before she tried to force the issue at Galway when making most of the running, only to get cut out in the latter stages by a horse called Agreement. But you've only got to look further back in the pack to the fourth placed horse home and notice it was a horse called Calibrate from the Dermot Weld stable, who absolutely hosed up the other night down in Garran. So technically speaking, off a mark of 68 in one of these rated races, this Stepping Down, going back to the scene of her victory last night, if ridden from the front, has got an absolutely tremendous chance of taking this race. Obviously got question marks over the likes of Lightstorm Cass on the ground, and also Flight of Saker. Can he repeat what he did the other day in the first time visor? I certainly think you've got to enter Jan van Eyck into the argument, because he did finish in front of Stepping Down at Wexford on when the last two met, but I think Stepping Down's a much better horse since then. Those front-running tactics clearly were at the Oracle, and hopefully a front-running ride again tonight from Gary Carroll will prove that she's going to be very, very, very difficult to beat.
OK then, the next race is the 6:50. It is a handicap over a mile and a half once more, and quite a lot of seasoned handicappers here, you probably say, Andy. Which do you think will come out on top?
Well, there's going to be plenty of pace on here, Alex. We've got a couple of front runners which could cut each other's throats. You've got Zafarikand, who made all the running last time out for Connor King down in Sligo, and was a very easy winner on that occasion. And you've also got Ben Becula in the hands of Ben Curtis for Johnny Murta. Also goes a really good gallop from the front. Both of these two horses have tried to make all the running in their last three starts respectively. So it should set the race up ideally for a closer, or certainly that's the theory anyway, or my theory. And it may play into the strengths here of Kim's Dream, who is severely up in grade after getting a £15 hike in the weight for brushing aside a moderate field down in Wexford last time out, coming from a long, long way back. She absolutely charged Sam and won absolutely as she liked on the bridle. Previously to that, she'd been in very good form on the hurdle, so it wasn't as if she was winning out of turn. And the handicap has obviously had to rejiggle his sums, because if you notice, she's won off 62 in the past. That was down in Killarney several seasons ago. And he thought, I've dropped a clanger here. Obviously, she'd been running poorly in between on the flat. And it's only really her resurrection of her hurdles that has allowed her to slip back down in the weights and take advantage of that lowly flat mark. They should go a good gallop here. Ground will be fine. And 9-2 each way, Kim's Dream.
Okay, then Kim's Dream in the 650. The next race is the 720 over a mile and six furlongs. And the majority of horses in this field, Positive Vibes perhaps being the exception, look a little difficult to win with, Andy.
Yeah, I'd say that's a good statement. I'd certainly give Traveller's Tales a bit of a chance. I'll quickly mention her, because that was a good race down in Sligo the other day. I think that speed figure will start working out and producing winners. And Traveller's Tales ran quite well, considering that she had plenty on her plate. So I'll give her a mention, but the main one here is the one you alluded to, Positive Vibes, who comes in here on a bit of a roll. Technically won its last two races. The stewards took a dim view of that victory at Killarney two starts back when he beat a horse called Shalaman, who probably should have won last night at Leopardstown. It was a bad ride by Anna O'Brien. She got the horse too far back on a track where it pays to be handy, and Shalaman finished a narrow second to a horse that got first run on it. So I think that form's really good. And also Castle Guest, who was back in third, well, he advertised the form again if we needed more of a nudge about that form, and winning also at Garran the other night. So I think that Positive Vibes form is really good. He then went to Tipperary next time out and beat a field of a pretty modest bunch of handicappers, but did it in a really good style, and thought Jane Mangan had plenty left in the locker on this four-year-old to suggest that with just a £2 higher mark, he could easily take advantage of that in future handicaps. So at 3-1, I think Positive Vibes is one that we could be quite confident about running its race here in that 720.
Okay, then Positive Vibes in the 720. The sixth race on the card is the penultimate contest. It is a handicap over a mile and six furlongs. And a horse that I quite like here, Andy, is the precociously handicapped Ocean Bright.
Yeah, could be very well treated here, couldn't it, Ocean Bright? I certainly think it's one that a lot of punters will look to take advantage of. Off a measly-looking mark of 48. That does look sumptuous, doesn't it, considering it's won its last two starts over hurdles. The good run began at Belliestown when this mare made most of the running to win quite comfortably in the end in a very fast time. And it wasn't a great surprise to me that she was managed to follow up that victory at Kilbeggan the other day, albeit a bit of a scramble. It was the race at Coosan Bell. Should have won, really, but Ocean Bright took advantage of Brian Hayes's indiscretions in the latter stages to win at a nice tasty price at 8-1. We're not going to get 8-1 tonight. I think the bookmakers have obviously spotted this horse could be very well in here. Ian Brennan's a good pilot as well. I do like him, this up-and-coming apprentice over in Ireland. He takes another three off if we needed any more weight off this horse. So a mark technically of 45 here tonight. Does seem too good to miss. Deep ground will be fine. Trip of mile six will obviously take some getting in tonight. And it's up against a lot of horses who've been in the twilight zone for quite a while, and connections must be scratching the head, will they ever win a race? Hangar 5 and Crouching Harry, between them, have run 42 races respectively, and not once have they got their head in front, albeit they've hit the bar and crossbar more times than you'd care to imagine. I think their crossbar's in splinters by now. So yeah, it's a race there for the taking, and hopefully Ocean Bright can step up to the plate.
Okay then, fingers crossed. The 8:20 is the final race on the card. It's a 2 mile race, 2 mile handicap race. And Crystal Earth runs for Peter Fahey. Certainly going the right way, isn't she?
Yeah, she is, yeah. I napped her the other night when she won down in Ballinrobe. And I can't really oppose again tonight because she won with such ease that my figures of the run prior to that have obviously been vindicated. I thought that run at behind Sheila's Witch at Cork would work out really well in comparison to Venus de Milo, who ran on the same card. This race was quicker on the overall and the sectionals as well, so I thought, this race could be OK. Even Bob Skier last night ran really well out of that race, just got nutted late on when the ground went against Gerald O'Leary's charge. So we've seen the second Crystal Earth win, we've seen Bob Skier finish second. We don't need any more indications to tell us that form's really good. Crystal Earth race is just under a £5 penalty, but I don't think that'll be good enough to stop this mare. She handles cutting the ground as well. It was on the yielding side at Cork the other night when she finished second. So everything points in the direction of her. Danger looks to be Admiral Barry, who's coming in here on a rich vein of form. Despite him not winning for 3 years, he's been running in very competitive Premier handicap. So this is a real drop down in grade. And he handles the ground and he's won at the track. So I do think Admiral Barry's the one to worry about. But Crystal Earth, a mare on mare in form at the moment, and that's often a ticket to riches.
OK, good stuff, Andy. If you could just sum up your picks in the seven races at Tramore on Friday evening then.
Yeah, Nap on the Night is in the first race. Dusty Trail suggests you really get stuck into that one each way. Hills are going 5-1. And that basically should be a bet for nothing. I can't see that not being involved in the finish. In the 5.50, Palace of Windsor is giving one more opportunity to finally get off the mark for John Ox in that what looks a weak filly's maiden. In the 6.20, plenty of informed horses come here off the back of victories, but not more impressive than Stepping Down, who won by a wide margin here last night. Hopefully he can follow that up. In the 6.50, Kim's Dream hopefully should benefit from a strongly run race, courtesy of Zafarik and Ben Bekula in the lineup. 7.20, a difficult race here for punters, but positive vibes certainly giving me that flavour coming into this race off the back of two victories, and I'll stick with Arthur Moore's charge. 7.50, the ridiculously well-handicapped Ocean Bright hopefully could make hay now she goes back on the flat off a good rating. And in the final race, it could be another female victory tonight with Crystal Earth under a £5 penalty for a victory the other night at Ballinrobe.
OK, good stuff, Andy. We will talk to you again on, I'd imagine it'll probably be Sunday.
I would say it would be Sunday, yes.
We've got Dundalk, Andy.
Incredible.
Dundalk's back.
No, I'm getting that feel, that vibe, that autumn feel. September, here it comes. I've been waiting for about 7 or 8 months now, and finally we've got to wait no longer. Dundalk's going to be back.
Right.
Not in its usual place, I hasten to add. It's Friday nights are very much Dundalk nights.
But it's Friday night with the last race due off at 9.20 and going off close to 10, isn't it?
That's right. Well, Fridays used to be Crackerjack, didn't they? Crackerjack Day, but it's now Dundalk Day.
Oh, well.
It's official.
OK, cheers, Andy.
Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.